Justice Annabelle Tuck, explain issue one for voters who are not familiar with it.
Issue one is a proposal that has been placed on the ballot by the Arkansas legislature, one of two they have placed on the ballot, that is the effort to, by the legislature, to place into the Arkansas Constitution provisions concerning limiting attorney's fees in contingency fee contracts, in other words, affecting agreements between lawyers and their clients. Second, limiting damages, meaning punitive damages, up to making the cap $500,000 or three times the compensatory, and also damages called non-economic damages. These are usually referred to as pain and suffering, scarring, basically loss of companionship, and that limit would be $500,000. And then the most important part is the last part, the third section. There's actually four sections, but the third section is the part I'm concerned with, which is giving the legislature the authority to make court rules, meaning rules of pleadings and practice, the rules of evidence. Under Amendment 80 in 2000, Arkansans voted to have that controlled by the Arkansas Supreme Court.
Well, before we get to the rules that would concern the Supreme Court, the first thing I want to ask you is $500,000 is a lot of money to most people. Why is that an unreasonable cap on awards?
Well, let me just give you an example. This came out of Wisconsin that has actually a $750,000 cap. A lady was admitted to the hospital, and they did not diagnose her with strep. And she, because of that, lost all four limbs. And so the maximum for her pain, suffering for a lifetime. Now, mind you, she's not elderly. She was in the prime of her life. For losing all four limbs and having to live with artificial limbs for the rest of her life, will only get $750,000 for that part of it. And that means that, you know, you're basically putting an arbitrary value on something that juries have decided, 12 people, good and true, of your peers. And Arkansas does not have a record of having juries that go, you know, out off the limb and just start giving away money. In fact, Arkansas juries are very conservative.
This would arbitrarily, without any eye toward individual cases,
right,
take that discretion away from juries and judges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no discretion. And so that means one size fits all. And think about it this way. If you have a loss of death, children or the elderly do not have a economic loss because they don't have a job. You know, it's not like they're going to have lost earnings.
Can you explain what compensatory damages are, what punitive damages are, non-economic damages?
Right. Well, as I've said, non-economic damages are the pain and suffering, the scarring, the loss of compassion, companionship, like a husband and wife. Compensatory damages are your medical bills, if there's a funeral, the funeral bills, and any future care that you would need if, say, you're a paraplegic. Now, that brings us to punitives. Punitives are about trying to correct behavior, meaning, let's take, for example, the hot coffee case, the McDonald's case that everybody's heard about, and candidly, many people even don't know the truth of that case. in that case, the woman was not driving. Her son was driving, and they were just sitting in the McDonald's parking lot. It turns out that McDonald's had a policy of keeping their coffee at 180 degrees. And they had over 700 claims of hot coffee injuries. So the punitives that were given by the jury in that case to make the point to McDonald's that you need to change your behavior was worth 2 days of sales of hot coffee by McDonald's. But that was reduced because of limit on punitive damages. So it was maybe, one could say, a drop in the bucket for McDonald's to get hit with.
But your point on the myth of the McDonald's case, because we've all heard it,
right,
is part of what the myth is that we want hot coffee, and so we spill some on ourselves, and then we sue for millions.
Right.
You're saying that the actual reward, first off, was reduced from the award that's often cited as the
Right.
one that plaintiffs were able to win, but also that this was the jury's response to dozens and dozens of complaints of this very nature that they were able to document.
Correct. So the question was, how can you get the, as we call it, wrongdoer to change their behavior? You put a punitive damage award against them. So the question here is, if you only have a $500,000 max or three times the compensatory, which could be very low as well, that's just a drop in the bucket for some companies that make billions. So it won't change behavior.
Are proponents of Issue 1 right that uncapped lawsuit awards drive doctors out of the state or even out of practice, or drives business to states who do provide protection against steep lawsuit awards?
They are using that argument that it is making companies not come to Arkansas, or it is driving doctors away. I have yet to see any statistics that doctors don't come to Arkansas because of medical malpractice, outrageous awards. I have yet to see that evidence. I've asked for it. I would ask for it right now. Show me your evidence that they're not coming.
Do you think yours is the populist message?
I do, and especially with regard to giving, and although it's not, you know, as one would say, sexy, the giving of the rulemaking authority to the legislature is basically saying, we the legislature do not agree with the Supreme Court and how it interprets its rules or what is a rule. And so we are going to be the ones that are going to decide.
I don't think people are going to understand this issue absent an example of a rule that you worry, if Issue 1 were to pass, the legislature could revisit for the Supreme Court. Can you give us an example?
Well, at this time, one of the areas that the proponents have mentioned, and so this isn't something I'm making up. Of course, there are issues concerning evidence that have been talked about, one of which is to not allow experts, out-of-state experts, into cases. Well, if you think about that at all, you realize that's going to limit the availability of experts to testify, say, in medical malpractice cases, because you're not going to find a doctor who will testify locally against a colleague in the same medical society.
Here's what I think proponents would say, and I would say it too. Issue 1 is being put to voters by their representatives. There's 135 seats in the state House and Senate combined. That body of representatives has put this issue to voters. That tells me that many minds are in the stew on this thing, and they pretty strongly agree that, frankly, this should pass. But at the very least, to check that, we'll put it to our constituents. Why isn't that a strong argument in favor of issue one?
Well, there were some of those representatives that didn't approve it but agreed it should go to a ballot. Okay.
Who are those?
Well,
name names.
Those are folks that have basically said, I think it should go to the people, and made no recommendation about whether it's good or bad. There are also representatives who fought to keep it off the ballot for exactly the reasons I'm talking about, which is called separation of power and checks and balances. This is all about the issue of three co-equal branches of government. This is basic to government. The folks that are in favor of this are big business. It's very simple. If you want to change the rules of pleadings and practice to benefit certain constituencies that the legislators represent, you're going to tilt the scales of justice. It's very simple.
The name of your group is?
Defending Your Day in Court Legislative Question Committee.
Who's reached out to you that you can count on as an advocate for the group?
We have many folks. AARP has been showing hot coffee everywhere and having discussions with senior citizens about it, because in their view, they do not think this is good for their constituency. I am going to all the bar associations across the state. I'm speaking and urging, and in fact, did urge at the Arkansas Bar Association's annual meeting, that the lawyers are respected in their communities. You know, we always say we don't like the other guy's lawyer, but we sure like our own lawyer. Well, it's like a lot of things. People don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be in a car accident. They don't want to be injured. But when it happens, who's going to be in your ballpark? And so the local lawyers to go out and advocate, this will affect how the judiciary is perceived by our citizens. It will no longer be a place where you think, okay, I know that the rules will be fair and they will be enforced fairly for the process. Because in the middle of the game, remember, cases go on longer than 1 year, and you have sessions of the legislature once a year. In the middle of the game, a rule can get changed. Is business going to like that? No. Business wants to know what the rules are.
Former Justice Annabelle Tuck is a former chancery and probate judge, too. She was the first woman elected to the Arkansas Supreme Court in 1996, where she memorably issued a majority opinion recognizing the privacy rights of homosexuals in the state. And before that, as a trial judge, she held the state funding formula unconstitutional in Lakeview v. Huckabee. She's retired after three terms, and today she's leading the cause to defeat Issue 1 on the November ballot. Former Justice Tuck, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, and I enjoyed our discussion and hope that it's educational and that people will actually explore for themselves. Go educate yourselves. That's what this is about. Be a voter. Number one, go vote. And number two, go down to the end of the ballot. Don't just vote at the top of the ballot. And before you make a vote, research it and figure out what will be good for you. And my question is, how will you be impacted?
Thank you, Justice Tuck.
Thank you.